Is it Linda's bill separate? Is Linda's bill separate?
Okay. Okay, good morning. I'll call to order the meeting of the State Government Budget Division for Friday, March 26, 2010. We have a quorum present. The first bill we have on the agenda is Senate File 1761, Senator Scheid's bill on health plans, chemotherapy treatment coverage payment regulations. The bill was on the Senate floor. It was under general orders, and then when we realized that there was a fiscal impact to the CGIP plan, we asked to have it removed to the Finance Committee so that we could review it here. I understand that there's some policy implications both in the underlying bill and any possible amendment, which is going to deal with the fiscal note. However, this budget division is not in a position to be determining policy. So we're here mainly to determine how any amendment is going to affect the fiscal note. So Senator Scheid, welcome to the budget division.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. As you know, we were actually in discussion of the bill on general orders.
Right.
And you came to me when the question was raised as to whether or not there was a fiscal impact. And there had not been, I think, a fiscal note requested at that point. But you subsequently did ask for one and did receive one. And I know Mr. Morocco is here from CGIP, and I don't know if he wishes to testify, but okay. We had a good meeting because, frankly, I know that we aren't going to pass a bill that has a fiscal cost, you know, to or an impact on the state budget. So we tried to, and frankly, the underlying bill required that oral chemotherapy be handled in terms of copays the same way intravenous chemotherapy. And oral chemotherapy is something that's relatively new in the treatment of cancer. And it represents, I think, something around 10% of the market, let's say, or of the treatment that's available. And that's expected to grow. I mean, I don't know that it'll ever hit 50%. Who knows where it will take us? But I do know this, that it's handled under the pharmacy benefit. I think that's probably true in all cases. I don't know. Can't speak for every plan. And obviously the intravenous chemotherapy is handled under the medical, the treatment benefit. And that was very complex and complicated, and I didn't really understand the complexity of that until Mr. Morocco sat down with us and explained the difficulty with that. And I believe that this amendment, while it won't satisfy, I think, the plan's concerns about cost, I mean other plans, not CGIP, it does make it easier to administer. Okay. And so what it does, instead of saying you'll treat them with the same copay, remembering that they're each, that orals, the prescription or pharmacy benefit, the intravenous is in the treatment, they're handled differently today. This just puts a cap on the amount of the copay or the coinsurance that a person would pay per month for the oral chemotherapy. They are very expensive. They're generally, I don't know that there are any generics available. I'm not an expert on it. I do know, though, that you have less side effects with the oral chemotherapy than you do with the intravenous. And I can speak from personal experience that the intravenous chemotherapy is a very expensive process as well. And there are many attendant kind of drugs that, or chemicals that, you know, that you get intravenously to deal with the side effects. And other things such as a hospitalization for a blood transfusion once, and then an outpatient transfusion another time. And those are the kinds of things that you don't see in terms of the side effects with the oral chemotherapy. So we argue that, you know, my argument, I guess, is that I think at the end of the day, the costs probably are not that different. We really don't have many examples to look at. Oregon passed this, but I don't think there's enough evidence there. It's recent, and Iowa has done this, and I think they did it the way I introduced the bill. But this, with Mr. Morocco's help.
Mr. Morocco, is he here?
And maybe, yes, he is.
Well, why don't you come forward, again, because we're trying to focus. We've got the fiscal note.
Mm-hmm.
It does show a cost, and we've got an A2 amendment. And Mr. Morocco, welcome to the Budget Division. Please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, I'm interested in what happens to the fiscal note with the A2 amendment.
And that's
the only
be my
thing
question.
I care about.
Yeah. Mr. Morocco, please identify yourself, and did you have a chance to review the A2 amendment?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Nathan Morocco. I'm the director of the Employee Insurance Division. I have an opportunity to look at the amendment, and it does eliminate the fiscal note for the CGIT program.
Okay. And that's really our jurisdictional area. I know there's some people here who have some concerns about the underlying policy, but that's not anything we have the expertise on to get into at this stage. The bill will go to the Finance Committee. Senator Cohen tends not to get into policy discussions there if he can avoid it. So I'm not quite sure whether it'd have to go back to a policy committee or go to the floor for any further discussion. I'm not sure,
Chairman, I'll move the A2 amendment.
Senator Rust moves the A2 amendment. There's a discussion on the A2 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Senator Scheid?
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to say that the underlying bill and the policy that, you know, we're not really discussing here was discussed in two policy committees.
But I'm just telling people here who wanted to have a discussion on how the bill has changed. If anybody wants to come forward to talk about the policy or the budget implications, you certainly may do so. But if you're talking about the policy things, that goes beyond our expertise here. So.
Mr. Chair.
Sarah Roebling.
I do have a question.
Go ahead.
I realize we just cleared the state of any fiscal responsibility if this change is made. But I am wondering about the fiscal implications on individual policyholders or employers. I am not convinced. I mean, we haven't had much testimony on that to know if the policy changes are going to have an impact on them. Is it going to raise premiums? Is it going to raise costs for the individual seeking the services who currently are going to the hospital? I'm not clear.
It may be a good question, but I think that goes to the overall
right,
whether it's good policy or not. You know, within here, I have to look at cost of the state budgets, and that's been resolved right now. Senator Scheid, do you have any thoughts on
that? Well, Mr. Chairman, first of all, it's not, and you didn't say this, but it isn't a new mandate. The coverage is there. It's just under the pharmacy benefit for the oral chemotherapy. And what happens is that people max out, and then they end up, because the drugs are very expensive. But, you know, the ones that I've looked at are very similar to the price of the drugs for the intravenous chemotherapy. And in addition, there are additional kinds of drugs you get with the intravenous and other kinds of complications from side effects of the intravenous chemotherapy that are not as typical with someone able to take oral chemotherapy. So at the end of the day, I really believe that this will probably even out, if not even save money.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Sarah Lee.
The thing that I don't understand, though, is if it might be a cost savings, or even, why don't insurance companies do this on their own? Because if they think they could save some money by letting people go to oral chemotherapy, and the patients want that, why wouldn't they be doing it? Do any insurance companies currently do it?
Sir Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know, and I guess that's a question for them. You know, there are drugs that are available in oral form and intravenous form, the same drug, and yet they're treated differently under the benefit of the benefit schedules of the plan. So, you know, that's a question for them. But I don't believe that at the end of the day there will be much of an increase, if any, for the plans and for the employers, if you will.
Any other questions? Does anybody else want to be heard on the budget implications of this bill? As I say, I know there's people who have concerns about the overall policies, but, again, that's beyond our expertise.
Senator Betzel.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Scheid, you thought that maybe the price may eventually even out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a time frame on
that? Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, I think that today that there may be some that are, and, in fact, I may actually have some where that it's – less for the chemotherapy. In many cases, it's the same cost, I believe, and I think in some cases it's less for the oral chemotherapy. So, but not all, of course, not all drugs are available in both form. In fact, I mean, that's just a handful that are available, both, you know, either way. But it is something when you consider the cost all, as well to the patient and to the institutions, to providers, when people have to come in to a hospital, for example, for some intravenous chemotherapy, maybe come in from Greater Minnesota to a regional center where they may or may not be able to have the intravenous chemotherapy, that those costs of time and to the providers are not something that factors into fiscal notes and probably not into health plans budgets either, but that is also something that's, I think, an important consideration here. If the option is available and if the doctor thinks that's what's best for the patient, it's not that people are going to be scrambling to have oral chemotherapy if it's not, I mean, they're not going to get it unless the doctor thinks that that is the most, you know, potentially effective drug for the for that patient.
Okay, one last, Sarah Salimer. In your review of this, I know that from the experience I had in my family with cancer, the concern of the doctor and our family's concern was when the patient goes to the hospital to get the IV for a chemo therapy. Our concern, and it was a very real concern of the doctor, was that here you're bringing a person now with, in many cases, a very reduced immune quality in their system.
Right.
And we're putting them into a hospital or a medical office or a clinic that constantly has people coming in and out with a variety of ailments, and they're bringing some of the germs into that setting. And the doctor was very concerned at the time that a patient that has a very reduced immune quality now has to go to the doctor's office in order to get the IV. And now you're exposing a person in a very severely weakened state to be in that environment. And I don't know if you've included that in your rationale on this.
No,
but
Mr.
have
Chairman.
You?
Mr. Chairman, in a very personal way, because the chemotherapy I'm receiving knocks my white blood count down. Yeah. And we shake hands for a living, right? So there are times when I'm not shaking hands when I'm on the chemotherapy, the intravenous chemotherapy. I asked an oncologist who was testifying with me in the health committee, the Health, Housing, and Family Security Committee, and he said that they don't see that complication with the blood getting, you know, knocked down. And I had, and the red blood cells actually also get damaged, although on the one I'm on now, not so much. But that's why I needed the transfusions. But you're right about the white blood cell. And they have shots for that. They're very expensive. And they're very effective. But they are also a cost that goes along with intravenous. So, yes, it's very much part of my consideration.
Sarah Rush.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate File 1761 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the full Finance Committee.
Discussion of that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Schott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Members, Monday is the deadline under the schedule adopted by the House and the Senate to have an omnibus bill prepared for the various budget divisions. I've been going back and forth. I don't know what the House is planning so far. So what I thought we would do is basically reconsider the vote by which we sent Senate File 3134 to the Finance Committee. That was the governor's budget bill, but we only sent Article 2 in there, which had, those were all governor's proposals, and we accepted all of them. So what I would be looking for is a motion to reconsider that vote, use that bill as a vehicle for all the other budget, all the bills that we have considered and recommended to pass out of this budget division. You see them on the list, and I'll read them off in a moment. But and then we would put them into one bill. They'd still go separately because they're already in the Finance Committee. But since I don't know if the House is going to put together an omnibus bill or not, you know, I'm just trying to keep my options open in order to meet the deadline. So is there a motion to reconsider the vote by which we recommend that Senate File 3134 be recommended pass to the Finance Committee? Sir, I'll see and so moves. On that motion, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. So I would be looking for a motion then to incorporate into that bill, Senate File 3134, the following bill, Senate File 2187. That was the bill that I had on Help America Vote Act Account General Fund Matching Appropriations. Senate File 2858, Senator Roebling's bill on state agency deposit receipts for the combined charities use clarification. Senate File 2471, Senator Olsen's bill from the Secretary of State Declaration of Trust and Real Estate Property Filings. Senate File 2188, that's my bill that I had on the state webmaster position and the chief information officer. We took actually the webmaster out of that bill, but that's the title of the bill. Senate File 2915, Senator Kevin Dahl's fiscal note requirement modifications. Senate File 3096, Senator Roebling's bill on state-owned buildings disposal process. Senate File 2629, Senator Sieben's bill on county assistant voting optical scan equipment. That was changing the HAVA fund account. And then Senator Rest had a bill from the state legislative auditor authorizing use of the Heritage Fund appropriations to pay for the state auditor. Those are the bills that we had referred out of this budget division. And I'd be looking for a motion just to incorporate those into Senate File 3134. Senator Olsen, so moves. There's a discussion on that motion. Sure. Senator Limmer.
Mr. Chair, do we tiptoe anywhere close to the single issue requirement by doing it this way?
I don't believe so, Senator Limmer, because all of these bills do deal with state government budget issues. They're all referred to this budget division. Most odd number of years, we put together an omnibus bill, which includes not only the budget areas, but we also put the policy in there as well, too, and that's an omnibus bill that we prepare. This year, the budget part went separately because there's an omnibus budget cutting bill, so we've already done that part. So this is all that's left are the policy issues. Since I don't know what the House is going to do, as I say, I thought I'd put all the policy issues into one state government budget omnibus policy bill, and then just see where it goes. As I say, all these bills are separately passed out. They're currently in the Finance Committee, and if the House chooses to do an omnibus bill, we're prepared to go with it. If they want to do separate bills, we're prepared to go with that too. But I don't know what the House is going to do between now and Monday. So,
Mr. Chairman, do you plan on moving this to Finance Committee or to the floor?
I can only move it to the Finance Committee. All this right. is a budget division. The only place bills can go out of here is to the Finance Committee. Is there a discussion? Okay, so Senator Olsen moves that those bills be incorporated. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails. We have one other amendment. Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, just a question. Are these all these bills without House companions in the House, or are they on the floor as separate bills? Have any of them been passed past the floor?
Well, here's the problem. Some of the bills the House wants to roll into the omnibus budget bill. As an example, Senator Roebling's bill on state-owned business disposal process. I'm not sure whether or not they're even moving that bill separately because they anticipated putting that into the omnibus budget bill. The state webmaster is another one that they wanted to put in but now are not wanting to put in. So I think that was traveling separately. I think some of these have companions, some not, but it's just, as is often said, the House has strange mating practices when it comes to bills. You know, they just, bills show up, they get amended on stuff, and it's hard to figure out where they're at. So I can only pass the bills out separately, try to put together an omnibus bill, and we're trying to see where it ends up.
So we have Senate positions on. Yeah.
We have Senate positions on all, well, so far they're in the Finance Committee, so we don't have Senate positions on these things until they move out of the Finance Committee to the floor.
Oh, so this would also be more efficient in terms of moving through the Finance Committee.
Yes.
And then you could do it all in one fell swoop.
And if we have an omnibus bill, everything could be in here. We don't have to worry about the individual bills. If there's no omnibus bill for the House, then the Finance Committee can hear the bills separately and move them out to the floor separately.
Yeah.
So either way, I think we're covered. I can't think of any other way to do it. We do have one more, Mr. Botter. Yeah, Mr. Botter.
Mr. Chairman, two very quick things about the way the Delete Everything Amendment is constructed. Everything in here, as Senator Betzold referenced, is as it passed the Budget Division. There are a couple items where it was necessary to make a small change just to make the language work, and I'll call your attention to page 6, the disposal of old buildings. There's some language at the end of that, section 9, on that you see on lines page 6, line 15 through 18. And basically what this does is clarify that there's a sequence that admin would have to go through in order to identify where to put the proceeds from the sale. First, from the fund which the appropriation was made. If that fund can't be identified, then in the general fund or as otherwise provided by law. That's just slightly different from the way it passed the budget division, but I think that works better for what the members intended. Then on page 15 and 16, section 22 and section 23 are the HABA appropriations. The difference there from the way it passed the budget division is that the original language did not appropriate the money in a particular fiscal year. So what this does on page 15, line 12, is appropriates it in fiscal 2010, and then on page 15, line 15, makes it available until spent because it's used for grants. Same thing with section 23. And that's those are the only differences.
And we've got the fiscal notes here, too, and this is the language. So since we've adopted it, do we need to actually move the we've adopted the bill. We do have one amendment here to the A2 amendment. This is an issue that just came to our attention in the last few days. It's from the state auditor, and the state auditor is here, so perhaps you can come forward and indicate what the amendment is all about and why it's needed. Welcome to the Budget Division. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rebecca Otto, the state auditor. And I apologize for this not coming here earlier. I thought it was taken care of, however, it wasn't. And what this does is a couple of years ago, something got passed through the House and Senate that put a fairly large unfunded mandate on my office, and I never got a fiscal note for it. So I'm trying to correct it. And so basically it's not when the OPEB trusts were created, when you all allowed for that, there was a piece that got in that said that anyone who had an OPEB trust had to report to us. And so anyway, the long and the short of it is there's entities that don't work with us right now that will have to report. We have to determine what it's going to look like. We'll have to do quite a bit of programming to make this happen. It's a lot of information for us to collect. And it would have to go through a division that I don't think we can put it through because of the way they're funded and the restrictions that are there. So there's a lot of mechanical problems, and it really wasn't processed through my office. I believe it's redundant. There was a transparency issue, and there will be transparency in these entities' financial statements. So I think that was the purpose of the language in the first place. So what this all this is doing is it's extending out when they have to start reporting to us by 4 years.
And apparently we do need an effective date that's retroactive, since actually this is the law now, because for fiscal years beginning after December 31st. So, Mr. Bonner, what would we have to do to correct that?
Mr. Chairman, we can add an effective date to this section that would specify this section is effective retroactively to December 31st, 2009.
Okay. Sarah Olstein moves the A2 amendment to incorporate that language. Is there anybody who wants to be heard on the A2 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Auditor Otto. Since the A1 amendment is a delete-all, and it actually incorporates the bills that we had, and it has the changes that Mr. Bodden identified in the bills, I think we would need to adopt the A1 amendment in order to put the bill in the shape that we'd have to have it. So Senator Olstein moves the A1 amendment to Senate File 3134. Discussion of that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Right.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, is there anybody who wants to be heard on this package of omnibus bills that we've had? We've already heard the testimony. We've already voted on them, so that we shouldn't have to do too much more. But as I say, it's just my intention to move this package to the Finance Committee. So is there a discussion? If not, then Senator Olstein moves that Senate File 3134, as amended, be recommended to pass to the Finance Committee. Discussion of that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Aye. Motion prevails. Do we have any other bills in the pipeline that we're waiting for? So we still have, we'll have some more meetings. One more bill?
One more hearing.
One more hearing. So we're planning on one more hearing at some point to capture the bill.